Title my sermon this morning, The Three Greatest Truths. The Three Greatest Truths. I wait till all the kiddos get out of the room before I start, because I want to shock you with my first statement. It's been 10 years or more since I have had a bath. I didn't want any of the kids to hear that. I'm a shower person. I like to get in the shower early in the morning, turn the water as hot as I can stand it, lather up, and get done in about 4 or 5 minutes. Now, I'll be honest with you. A lot of times I come to the Word of God as a shower person. I sort of get in, I sort of lather up, and just let it, the Word of God, in a very short time, rinse me off, make me clean. But there are times when it comes to the Word of God where I like to climb into the bathtub and just bathe in a verse and let it soak into every crevice and every pore and every part of my being and let it speak to me. And this morning, that's what I want to do with one verse that's very familiar to every single person here. In fact, someone said one time, there's 66 books in the Bible. If you had to pick only one to keep, you'd pick the book of John. There's 21 chapters in the book of John. If you could only keep one, you keep John chapter 3. There's 36 verses in John chapter 3, and if you only had one to pick, you'd pick verse 16, and you would still have enough to get the most blessed part of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In all probability, this is the most loved verse in the Bible. It's probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. It's probably the simplest verse in the Bible, and yet it's probably the most profound verse in all the Bible. And so this morning, I just want us to soak in it a little bit, because in this verse, I think we find the three greatest truths that there is to know. The three greatest truths that every single person needs to be exposed to and to think about. And so this morning, and this is a very simple message, but I want to remind you what those three greatest truths are. Number one, God loves us. God loves us. It says, for God so loved the world. And if you want to make it more personal, as I've suggested on other occasions, take out the world, take out the word world and put your name in it. For God so loved Lois, and for God so loved Jeff, and for God so loved Millie, and God so loved Ed, and we could just put your name in it. For God so loved me. And the greatest truth, I think the greatest truth in all the Bible, is that God loves us. A perfect and a righteous God of eternity loves me and loves you. A holy God loves unholy us. A just God loves us who are unjust. A righteous God loves us who all in his sight, all of our righteousness is, plural, look like filthy rags, but he loves us. A God who is sinless loves us who are sinners. A God who is perfect loves us who are imperfect. A God who is truth loves us that are not true. And as we let that truth seek into our hearts and into our minds and into every part of our being that God loves us, it ought to bless you this morning. It ought to do something this morning. Doesn't matter what our nationality is. Doesn't matter what our economic standing is. Doesn't matter what kind of education that we have. Doesn't matter what kind of house we live in or what kind of car we drive or how we dress. God loves us. The one that created the world, the one in the book of Colossians that holds it all together, that God, the God who knows the names of every star, the God who charts their course through the universe, the God who watches over the sparrows, not one sparrow, not one little bird. I was taking my walk this morning, I thought I saw a dead little bird laying in the street. I thought he said, I thought maybe a car hit him on the windshield. He was just laying there and had his, he was laying upright, but he had his head down. It looked like he had his beak in a crack in the street. And I said, poor little bird, I'm going to move him over to the side so nobody else runs over him. And as I got close to him, he started running and flew away. But there's no little bird, no little sparrow that falls that God doesn't know about. And God, just like he loves those little birds, I mean, we can take that as an example. I mean, his eye is on the sparrow, and we know he watches us. That's the God that loves each one of us. I was in a place this week where I sat down to a guy, and we started talking about the Bible. I had my Bible out and was reading it, and he said, I'll just tell you right now, I'm an atheist. I said, really? You're an atheist? He said, yeah. I said, you know, I've never really met a true atheist before. He said, you never have? I said, no. I've never really believed, never met anybody that didn't believe there was a God. You don't believe there's a God? He said, yeah. In fact, we got an hour together. He said, I'll just give you an opportunity. Prove to me there is a God. And I went to John 3:16. I said, let me show you there's a God. God loves you. He gave his son for you. He wants to take you to heaven. And he started starting to want it. He wanted to go back and talk about something that happened in the Old Testament that he didn't think was right, and something that happened, you know, in the book of Ezekiel that he didn't think was right. And I just kept coming back saying, God loves you. God, and he got mad. Yeah, and he started, he didn't cuss, but he came pretty close to cussing. I just said, look, God loves you, whether you believe it or not. God loves you. God loves you. And this morning, we just need to remember that there's a God in heaven that loves each one of us. Philip Bliss wrote a little song that we sang. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. But this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. We sing the song sometimes, and I don't know that I've ever told you about the history of it, but they went into a cell in an insane asylum one time, and they found one verse of a song that somebody else added some other verses and a chorus to. It goes like this: if we with ink the ocean filled, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We have a God that loves us. And the greatest truth in all of the Bible, and the greatest truth in all of creation, is that he loves you and me. Forget about your problems for a minute. And remember that God loves you. Forget about the heartaches that you have this morning. There's people in this room that have just a ton of heartaches. Things that they've got pressing down on them that break their heart. Just for a moment, would you put those aside and remember that God loves you? Forget about the things you have to do this week, the things you might be worried about. Maybe going to the doctor, maybe having surgery, maybe having some more tests. Just forget about them for a moment, and would you just, with me for the next 10 minutes or so, remember that God loves you. And as I've said before, love is not just a feeling, it's an action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Brother Clint prayed a moment ago when he was praying for the bread, that he was worthy. He was worthy to go to the cross. I'm glad he was. Glad he was. If he hadn't gone to the cross, he couldn't have saved us. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. He had to go to the cross. He had to pay the price for our sins. The Bible says we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay the price. I'm glad we have a God that loves us and us enough that sent his only begotten Son to take our place, to pay for our sins, to be our sacrifice and our substitute on Calvary's cross. We have a God that loves us. It's wonderful to be loved. And it's wonderful for people to tell you that they love you, but it's more wonderful when they show it to you. I mentioned in Sunday school a moment ago, Peggy and I went out, or an hour or so ago, Peggy and I went out to see her mom-in-law just to make sure that she was saved. And we got done, and she is saved. And Peggy said, "I got a surprise for you, preacher." And she pulled out this big bowl of banana pudding. Now, I had just come from lunch where I had a hot fudge sundae for two. And it was just me. And I told the waiter, I said, "This is not for two. I mean, look it. I cleaned the whole thing up, and there was only one of me." False advertising. But so it's only been like a half hour. I mean, just got up. Half hour. She pulled out that big bowl of banana pudding. She gave me a big bowl like this. I ate every drop of it. You know why? Not just because I like banana pudding, but you know why? Because in that way, Peggy was saying to her preacher, "I love you." And God said, when he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross, "I love you." Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what you've done. Say, "Preacher, you don't know. You don't know the kind of person I am. You don't know the kind of sin that I'm in." And I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know about your sin. But even if I knew about it in detail, I tell you, it doesn't matter. Because I know a Savior that can reach to the lowest pit, to the dirtiest hole, through the blackest sin, and love a sinner like me and a sinner like you. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. The greatest truth in all the Bible, number one, is that God loves us. The greatest truth in all the Bible, number two, is that God saves us. He saves us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish." That word "perish" means to go to hell. That word "perish" means to be separated from God. That's what our sin does. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin, just like it did in the Garden of Eden, and when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were separated from him, kicked out of the garden. That's what our sin does. And God gave his Son to save us from the punishment of sin. God gave his Son, and he paid in full the price that we owe because we're sinners. And the second greatest truth in all the Bible, after the first one, that God loves us, is that God saves us. He saves us. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, the Bible says, and Jesus talking, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In Luke chapter 9, verse 56, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." In John 3:17, we read it a moment ago, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This morning, I stand before you a sinner saved by grace. I stand before you a sinner that deserves hell. But because Jesus loved me and went to the cross and took my place, I stand before you a sinner saved by the riches of his glory. I'm glad. It's almost been 41 years ago. Be 41 years in the summer. And I've told you my testimony before. As a 15-year-old, I was walking out of church one night at a revival service, and my pastor said to me, he said, "Don't you think it's about time you got saved?" And he had watched me hug the back of the pew during the invitation for the past few nights. And I said, "Yes, it is." And he took me into his office. We got down on our knees on a tile floor in front of a red vinyl couch. And a 15-year-old sinner told God that he didn't want to go to hell. He told God that he was putting his trust in Jesus Christ. Told God that if he'd take me, I would take him. And I can't tell you how I felt when I got up off of my knees. I can't tell you what it feels like to be saved this morning. I can't tell you to have the hope that I have in my heart that one day I will go to heaven and I'll get to see Jesus. and I'll get to see the saints of God. I'll get to see grandpa and grandma and aunt and uncle and a little baby. I'll get to see those that have gone to heaven before me. I can't tell you the joy. I can't tell you the peace that I have because I am saved this morning. And you that share that relationship with Jesus Christ with me know what I'm talking about. There's just something about it you can't describe. You feel complete. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're missing something in your life. And the world tries to fill it up, but I'll tell you what, the world can't fill it up. There's nothing that can fill it up except a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves us. He saves us. And the third greatest truth, the third of the three, is that he keeps us saved. He keeps us saved. He loves me, he saves me, and he keeps me saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you this morning. It's hot in here to me, but I got goosebumps running up and down my arms right now. I have everlasting life. I'm not going to die. Oh, yeah, someday some of you will be passed by a casket and you'll see my old body laying in a casket, but I ain't going to be there. Like the preacher told the widow, hey, that's just a shell. The nut's gone to heaven. That's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in heaven. You can weep over my body and cry over my body, but don't weep for me, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And look, when I got saved, I think, oh, Satan had a fit, but there's nothing that he can do. There's no power in the earth. There's no power under the earth. There's no power above the earth that can take my salvation away from me. I didn't do nothing to get it, and I can't do nothing to lose it. It was all done by Jesus Christ, and what he does stays done forever. John chapter 3, verse 15, we read this one too, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I was talking to another guy this week. He said, I don't believe like you Baptists believe. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't believe that once saved, always saved. I said, you don't? He said, no. He said, I don't find it in the Bible. Show me in the Bible where it says once saved, always saved. And I told him, ain't there. I ain't never read those words either. But I read hundreds of times the word everlasting. I read hundreds of times the word eternal. I said, you knucklehead, isn't that once saved, always saved? Does we have everlasting life? We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And the third greatest truth in the Bible is that he keeps us saved. Now, if you know what I'm talking about this morning, then you ought to rejoice. You ought to rejoice. You have a God that loves you. You have a God that saved you. You have a God that will keep you saved. Boy, I could get excited. If it wasn't 12 o'clock, I think I'd have a little fit and preach for about 15 minutes more. Leonard, you're the only one that would be here. No, I'm just teasing. But listen, listen. That ought to do something to you. It ought to do something to you. Ought to make us clap our hands. Ought to make us stand and shout, hallelujah, what a God. He loves us. He saved us. He'll keep us saved. But I can't help but think there's somebody here that doesn't know what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this morning, would you come and just give them a try? Just give them a try. The Bible says over and over again, he invites us to come. He said, test me out. Taste and see if I'm not good. Just try me out. Could I ask you this morning just to come and give salvation a try? You've lived your life up to this point apart from God, apart from Jesus Christ. You're missing something. Missing something. Would you come and try God's way for a while? And look, if it don't work, you can go back. But I guarantee you, if you give it an honest try, if you get an honest attempt, you will not want to go back. You won't. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, not a better time to be saved. Not a better way to start the month of May than to be saved. Say, preacher, I didn't come prepared to be saved this morning. Yes, you did, because he'll take you just like you are. I'm glad we don't have to do anything to get ready. I'm glad we don't have to do anything to prepare. He takes us just like we are. Would you come this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for being a God that loves us, a God that saves us, and a God that keeps us saved. And Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know those truths.